Well, we are now on the third day of the octave of Easter. That's 8 days of one long Easter day. It's like one continuous solemnity, which is an occasion for joy. Jesus has gone through death and has come out the other side. It's not like Lazarus, we know that, who was returned to his original life. This is a new life. It is a resurrected life. This is what makes the Christian hope unique. Right now, most of the world is desperately trying to get back the life that has been put on hold. But we know that there is a new life that does not depend on improving the circumstances around us. We speak the truth that Jesus has conquered sickness and death in a way that no one has done before or since. And we are called and challenged and invited to live that new life today, even in the circumstances of our life. But we are also with Mary Magdalene, who is weeping at the tomb. She had a deep devotion to Jesus since he had saved her from demonic possession. She's overwhelmed by losing him a second time. She was at the cross. She saw his wounds and his suffering and the hatred of the world directed at him. She heard his last words and his last breath. Now she has lost his body and cannot even pay her respects. Moving to Peter just for a moment, do you remember when he had wept? Except his tears were tears of bitterness when the cock crowed and he felt the full weight of his betrayal of the Lord, his denial of the Lord. But the book of Acts begins with Peter speaking with power to a large crowd at Pentecost. That 50 days since Jesus was crucified had seen Peter believe, receive mercy, and the affirmation of Jesus' love, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. There were no more tears for him. There was only conviction and power. Listen to him. Know with certainty, he tells the crowd, that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Wow. Now that's a motivational speech. It cuts them to the heart so that they want to repent like Peter and be reconciled. John the Baptist had called for repentance and baptism, but he had also promised that one would come after him who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the fire which our first pope spoke with on that first Christian Pentecost. But before Peter got to that place, there was the experience of the empty tomb, wasn't there? Now we go back to that strange conversation in the garden outside the empty tomb of Jesus. Mary's tears kept her from seeing Jesus for who he is. Her broken heart kept her from being able to hear his familiar voice. This conversation reminded me of a phone conversation I had years ago with my very deaf grandmother. She was living with my parents at the time, and I had called to talk to them, and she answered. I'm not sure why she would bother. It was a conversation destined to go nowhere. She said, hello. I said, hi, Grandma, it's Stephen. She said, Steve's not here. I said, no, it's Steve calling, it's me. She said again, Steve's not here. Well, that went on for a while, and finally I said, okay, I'll call back, and hung up. Now that I think of it, my grandmother's name was Mary. If I had just done what Jesus did and called her by her name, maybe she would have recognized me. Of course, no one ever calls a grandmother by her first name, do they? But Jesus had the kind of relationship with Mary that he has with all of us. It's very personal. He knows us by name because we belong to him as sheep to a shepherd, but even more as brothers and sisters. Her crying ends when she hears her name called with that special kind of tone, that special kind of love. Mary saw two angels in a garden. She was wrong about Jesus being the gardener, but as sacred scripture often does for us, it reveals the truth in what is not seen with the eyes. Mary is by a tomb in a garden with Jesus, who created or planted the first garden. She is with the original gardener. In another sense, she is also with the new Adam, who perfects the garden that the first Adam had tainted by his disobedience. So this garden is the place from which the new garden grows. So Mary is, in a way, more correct, much more correct than she knows. Jesus repeats the same question the angels in the tomb posed to Mary. Why are you weeping? In a way, it might sound to us like a kind of a rebuke, like, what's wrong with your perception? But I think that is unlikely. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was given the honor of bringing the Savior into the world. Mary Magdalene is now given the honor of being the first to announce the good news to the apostles. Just before this passage, we read that Peter and John had been to the tomb. They had already been there before Mary, but John tells us they just went home after that. What does Mary do, though? She goes to all of the apostles, and she announces to them, "I have seen the Lord." This is not simply a relating of the facts. Yeah, I saw him. It's a proclamation, a witness of a life transformed by the resurrected Lord. She is the first to be so transformed. And so today, brothers and sisters of our Lord and of one another, we must also now dry our tears of disappointment and discouragement. We must now see the risen Lord through our tears. There is a garden in our hearts that needs to grow. That's where it begins. Let us hear the Lord of life call our names. Let us not be afraid to say to someone we will meet, perhaps today, "I have seen the Lord." Now, you and I know that there will continue to be causes for weeping in our lives. There will continue to be those discouragements and those disappointments and those illnesses. But let us today, just for this moment, just for this time during the octave of Easter, listen to the Lord call our names. And let us go from weeping to seeing.